The whatever you call this thing right here. I've been out of the eagle's nest, and I lost what Mr. Kendall trained me to do. But for those that don't know me, my name is Steven, but everybody calls me Cheeseburger. If you call me Steven, you'll just hear crickets, but if you call me Cheeseburger, you'll get an amen probably. So I am a deacon, but I'm also a fire chaplain. Been one for 5 years. So I know y'all probably tired of standing, but I'm going to get y'all to stand up one more time as we honor God's word today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Jonah prayed to the Lord. That's the wrong one. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Then the Lord hurled up a violent wind on the sea, and such violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each one cried to his God. They threw the ship cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and had stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep. The captain approached him and said, "What are you doing? Sound asleep. Get up, call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and we won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let us cast lots, then we'll know who is to blame for this trouble we are in." So they cast lots, and the lot singled out Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us who you are, what's your business, and where you're from. What is your country, and what people are you from?" He answered them, "I am a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh, the God of heavens, who made the sea and dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done? What is this you have done?" The men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you to calm the sea that's against us?" For the sea was getting worse and worse. Then he answered, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, so it may quiet down for you. For I know that I am to blame for this violent storm that is against us." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but couldn't, because the sea was raging against them more and more. So they called out to the Lord, "Please, Yahweh, don't charge us with this innocent blood, for you, Yahweh, have done just as you please." Then they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. The men feared the Lord even more, and they offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord appointed a fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. May God bless the bringing of his word. I'm getting a little drink here. Nathan be singing and stuff. I can't even read one chapter without getting thirsty. So I know there's some familiar faces in the crowd today, and I'm probably even more scared now than I was before I came up here. So, have any of y'all, and I don't want nobody cheating in the back, have any of y'all ever heard a parent say, "You are digging your hole deeper and deeper"? Logan, I know you probably heard that before. Many times in life, we get ourselves in some of the biggest holes. So the holes we dig ourselves into, they can be the tiniest problem to a full-blown hole. So this morning, here on scene, we see the prophet Jonah not only get himself into a hole, but we see him get himself into a fish. So in verses 1 through 3, we see Jonah had orders from the Lord to go to the great city while he was there. He was to preach against the city because of their sins and wickedness. And all of this was in front of God's eyes. Now, instead of following orders from God, Jonah let his fear get the best of him. Now, as Christians, when God asks us to do something, we do it, correct? So, now we have a choice to either listen to God or ignore God. Just like Adam and Eve had a choice to listen to God or ignore God about the forbidden tree. That's back in Genesis. We'll get there at another Sunday. But when it comes to God giving orders, we should not pick and choose which orders we're to follow. So down to Joppa he went, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. I don't care how fast you can run. I don't care how fast you can drive, how good at you are hiding at hide and seek, because you can now out-strength God, out-hide God, out-run God, or out-drive God. You just can't out-hide him. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. You said spoiler alert earlier. Well, spoiler alert, God is always on scene. He ain't never left. So, he is there in our deep, in our darkest moments. So, in verses 4 through 6, so God had thrown up this big storm with violent winds so strong upon the sea that it was going to break apart. Now, I know I'm going to regret this later in my check-ins, but me, I would have loved to have been there. But I know I'm getting stares right now. But this storm must have been more powerful than any other storm, because we see here that it was going to break apart. So we also see that in verse 5 that the sailors were afraid of, and each one of them started calling out to his own God. Now, it is 2023, but we're on the eve of New Year's. So we're going to call this 2024. Now, with these sailors on the boat, you kind of have to laugh at this a little bit. So you had many people in 2024, we had many people with different beliefs and different views on religion. Am I correct? All right, so now we have some people over here. Now, let's say that this side of the ship right here, they're Buddhists. So if you're a Buddhist, you don't pray to Buddha, correct? All right, so if you're a Muslim, you don't pray to Muhammad, right? And then, now each one of these sailors, they started asking their God to help them out, but no one is home to answer. So, thinking maybe they began unloading the cargo in the ship's journey through the storm a little better, that would help them make it a little bit better, they start doing it. So, but even that didn't help. So now we see Jonah done fell into a deep sleep downstairs in the lowest part of the boat. Now, that must have been a big boat, because it don't sit there and say how big the boat was, but we see the storm's about to break the ship apart, and all we hear is that Jonah done went down to the deepest part of the ship to fall asleep. He must have been a deep sleeper. All right, so the captain goes down, and he tells him, get up and call out to your God, like his God, thinking that maybe his God could help them so they would not die. So in verses 7 through 9, we see the sailors, they seem to think that someone is to blame for this crazy storm. So they decide to cast lots to see who it is. Now, when we hear about casting lots, now, I know we're getting further up into the Bible, but even at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when Jesus was down on the cross for your sins and my sins, they started casting lots for his robes. Now, when we hear that, I even had to ask Pastor Wayne, like, what's that mean? So, the only definition I could think from it, casting lots means you could go from picking straws, seeing who has the shortest straw, or they're flipping a coin. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a strange way of doing it. Because it's like, if I had a quarter, and I had five people right here. Okay, there's five of us, and there's one person that has like this issue going on, that's the cause of this. So, if all four of us land on heads, and the fifth person lands on tails, Now, here's the kicker. What if it had gone to the captain and he didn't even do nothing? So it seems that their sources were correct, and Jonah was cast out in those lots. It doesn't say what kind of lots they did. It just said they cast lots. So they started questioning Jonah, wanting to know who is to blame, what is he doing on the ship, and where he is from. So Jonah admits his wrongs and takes responsibility for his actions. He tells him that he is a Hebrew. He also tells him that he worships Yahweh, meaning God. Verses 10 through 13. After Jonah tells him his information, I worship Yahweh, the God of heavens. He made the sea and dry land. The people on the ship, they started getting more scared. They started questioning him even further, finding out that he was fleeing from God's presence. So the big question is asked, and the answer is given. They basically ask, what can we do to make this right and save the ship and ourselves? Jonah tells them to toss him overboard, and it may quiet down for them. Jonah even owned up for his mistake, saying he knew he was to blame for this violent storm that was against him. Now, 2024, imagine being in that situation. I know there's a lot of movies from since I was being grown up. There's been a lot of movies, a lot of action movies, especially those Avenger movies. Imagine being in that situation and someone says, I guess we know who it has to be. Yes, I'm quoting the Endgame. So we know who it has to be. So you've got this one person saying, no. If anybody going to die, it's going to be me. And then the other person was like, no. If anybody going to die, it's going to be me. So they're basically saying right there, like, there has to be another way. Like, there has to be. Like, I'm not taking your life. I'm not leaving you. Like we're going to get through this together. We're going to find a way to get through this together. So, but in order for them to get through the storm, they knew what needed to be done. So, that right there, if they didn't have a heart, they would have tossed them in right then and there without even thinking about it and just been going on their way. But with the same outcome had happened as it is about to happen. Now, what they do is they're trying everything they can to try to stop them from doing it. That's having a heart. Can I please get an amen? All right, so verses 14 through 17, with no other choice, seeing there was no other way, they cried out to the Lord. Now remember, these guys, it says that all these sailors, they were calling out to their different gods and stuff. So it never said that one of them had a relationship with Jesus. It just said that they all started calling out to their God at first. But now it says, seeing there was no other choice, they cried out to the Lord. They asked for mercy and not to be charged for getting ready to take Jonah's life. So they picked him up and tossed him into the sea. Then everything calmed down. Then this is where we see the turning point in these guys' faith. So when I look at storms, I don't see me being stupid and going out trying to chase a tornado. What I see is I see the wrath of nature, of God, and I also see the beauty of God. So these guys saw the wrath of God, but then they saw his peace. So each man offered a sacrifice and made vows to him. Now it doesn't say what those sacrifices were, it doesn't say what those vows were. As for Jonah, though, he did not die, but God did allow Jonah to be swallowed up by a fish. And he remained there for 3 days and three nights alive. It was also there in the belly of the fish where Jonah got right and prayed with God. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. We won't be standing or anything. We're just going to read from here. It says, Jonah prayed to the Lord from inside the fish. I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol. You heard my voice. May God bless the reading of his word. So, after getting right with God, God commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah out on dry land. You can find all that information in Jonah chapter 2, verses 10, but I encourage you to read further into Jonah. Here on the scene today, what hole have you got yourself into? Better yet, what fish have you got yourself into? Maybe you have gotten angry with God and had not really spoken to him in a while. Maybe you have a broken heart from a broken relationship, and you have not fully healed from it yet. Maybe you have found yourself in a hole dealing with some kind of addiction. It might be pornography, alcohol, drugs, or even spending too much time on Facebook and not in God's Word. Maybe you are here on scene and you found yourself feeling guilty because you haven't been living like a Christian, acting like a Christian, or fighting like one, or even speaking like one. If you go back to the first part of Jonah, we see the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. We hear about Hamas and the terrorist groups around Israel. We hear about Russia and Ukraine. But if we look in our own backyard here in America, there's even sin here. We think that's sin over there, but we got sin all around us every day. Number one, we feel the call from God to witness to coworkers. I know we got some high school students here today, so we feel the call to witness to a fellow high school student or a fellow college student. We do not. We feel the need to enter a mentor relationship with someone. We do not. We feel the need to help out someone in our community, but when a person comes asking for help, instead of doing something we are called to do, we find an excuse to turn them away. I've been here for a lot of years. Don't really know how long I've been here, but I've been here for a lot of years. I have seen, I'm not going to name names and stuff because that's like your own personal business, and I don't want to put nobody on like in the corner or anything. I have seen many people come up to this church, even in the parking lot, as I do security here in the parking lot. I've seen people when I'm out on Wednesday night Bible studies, I'll sit there and listen to my headphones on the swing where I usually am. And I'll be coming up and I'll see one of our church members from young to elderly. I'll see him be talking to somebody, and the person, a person may come up to me and say, hey, I just need $5 or $10 just to get by, just to go to the food line, get me some bread and some food. Now, me, my personal thing is, I ain't gonna give you cash. If you wanna go to Firehouse Subs, I'll gladly buy you something at Firehouse Subs. If you wanna go to QT, I'll get you something at QT. Only thing, I ain't got a driver's license yet. And that scares mama, and my mama's still scared by that. But there have been people that have gone out their way and said, you know what, come on. I'll take you to QT and get you some gas. Or come on in here. I'll take you in here and get you something to eat. We're having a book signing, or we're having homecoming. Come get you something to eat. Or I'll put you in a hotel tonight. I just want to say I'm so happy for this church, because I've learned more at this church than I have in any other church about helping the homeless or helping the weak. Now the fourth thing, we're not going to get all into it because I know people have mixed emotions about it. One big thing we do here in America and around the world is we get in disputes about same-sex marriage. We get in disputes about abortion. Poison lie goes like this. It tells our young people here today in society that it's okay for a man to be a man. A man to be with a man. It's okay for a woman to be with a woman. If you're a girl, it's okay for you to be a man. If you're a man, it's okay for you to be a girl. Having a baby? All right, it's okay. Go get you an abortion. That is not okay. It's not okay for same-sex marriage. It's not okay for abortion. Instead of calmly discussing these issues, we fight and we murder. Now, we may not do it physically, but in our minds, in our words, in our hearts, we do. When a fallen brother or sister has fallen into a hole, instead of helping them find their way out, we tend to bury them deeper. And that's where we find it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up, but pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Here today, before the service started, the praise team sung, "God is in this story." It is here today on scene that I remind you and tell you, whatever hole you have gotten yourself in, whatever fish you have might have gotten yourself into because you didn't do what God asked you to do, I want you to know, no matter what your situation is, from high to low, God is truly in your story. Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Him, with Jesus Christ, or maybe you're feeling the need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you just need some time in prayer. I don't think we ever had an altar call before, but today we're going to have an altar call. If you and your family feel like you need to pray, or individually you want to come out here and pray, feel free to. I'm going to have one of the fellow deacons to come up front. And if there's a decision that you would like to make today about making Jesus your Lord and Savior, or rededicating your life to Jesus Christ, one of our deacons will be glad to pray with you here. The altar will be open to anyone who feels the need to come and have some quiet time in prayer. And if you would like to make a personal decision. Now listen. I know many people say, oh, you're so cool. You're the best, you're the best. I got a cheesy mama. And I mean that in respect. I got a cheesy mama. Mama couldn't save me.
That's right.
Mama couldn't save me. Mm-hmm. Nathan, I ain't putting you on the spotlight. Nathan, your mama couldn't save you when you were 6 years old. And a flip-flop couldn't save me. Now, it may do wonders for some people. Oh, Lord. So, here today, you may say, Chaplain Cheese, when I was 8 years old, I asked Jesus to come in my heart. But I hadn't been living like one. I ain't been fighting like one. It is truly the day where I understand you as Lord, as Jesus as Lord and Savior. You might have grown up in a household where you have religion, but it's not what we teach or preach here at Flint Hill Baptist Church. I can't promise you that you're going to have bright and shiny days if you make a commitment here today. I cannot promise you you'll be free from sin. I can't promise you you're going to walk out these doors and you won't get yourself in a tussle with somebody and you're going to say something. I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is that if you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior right here today, I promise you Jesus will allow you to be free from being hell-bound from hell to heading to the streets of glory. You may be here on scene today and you say, Chaplain Cheese, that's me. That's me. Or you may be here today and you don't really do the whole crowd thing. You don't want to come up here. Right there in your seat, all you got to do is just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And I promise you, you may not even tell me today that you're a Christian. You may not even tell me or Nathan or whoever is going to be up here praying with you. But I promise you, if you have truly committed yourself to Jesus Christ, one day I'll see you on the streets of glory. So, as the worship team sings, I'm going to be out in the courtyard. If I hadn't met you, I would love to meet you today. Again, we're going to have one of our deacons up here today. But as the worship team sings, think, is God truly in my story? Or am I just living a lie? Amen. Thank you.